My next guest is using her platform of beauty pageants. We're talking about, can you imagine if Mrs. Universe decided to tell the world, oh, by the way, my child regressed into autism after a vaccine, and there's something you can do about it. There's hope. Take a look at this.
Former Miss Michigan, former Miss World International, one of those warrior moms who is out there making a huge difference for her child and for other children.
She shares a message of hope and recovery.
Beautiful on the inside and the outside, Heidi Shear.
Mrs. Universe, Heidi Shear.
I am always excited to be with people who have woken up and they realize the dangers of vaccines. And I'm always excited to share our story because of course there's a lot of negativity out there and unfortunately a lot of pain and sorrow. And we've been through that ourselves as a family, right? But we also have a tremendous story of recovery.
I had a neurotypical child when he was born. He was diagnosed with autism just before his fourth birthday. One thing that's really hard is acceptance. I know a lot of people waste a lot of time dealing with the diagnosis. It's just a word.
There is no time to waste in denial. You've got to just take that diagnosis and say, okay, what do I need to do now?
You have to accept what's going on and you have to look it in the eyes and fight because your child is counting on you.
Children are still being diagnosed with autism and they're being told that there's no hope. Well, there's nothing you can do. You can get some speech therapy, you know, and maybe some occupational therapy and hope that your child cannot be institutionalized when they get older. And that is simply not the case.
As my mom shared with you, my life was pretty rough when I was young. There was a time that I could not speak a sentence, go out in public without running away, or play at the park when pushing someone down. I felt sick all the time.
Treatments are available. Research-based treatments, evidence-based treatments.
Just because your physician is, you know, educated in autism doesn't mean they're the right physician for you. You have to find your team. You have to find your tribe. You have to learn from parents who have walked before you.
He's woken up from autism. And each and every one of you here that has a sick child, you can heal that child. You just don't ever, ever give up.
Please do not ever give up. Your kids need you to be strong. What could be more special than changing the life of a child? I ask you to please spread the word that autism is treatable and recovery is possible.
Open your arms and welcome everybody when they learn the truth. Welcome them with open arms and say, we got you. We're here for you. We stand strong as a family and we will bring this tragedy to an end.
She's the reigning Mrs. Universe, and she's using that platform in order to get a message about hope for autism and healing. And it's an honor and a pleasure to be joined right now by Heidi Shear. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Del. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, my wife actually, her, you know, family, her mother, her aunts all grew up in sort of this pageantry space, but it's something I've always been fascinated by. So to begin with, you know, have you always, from the time you were young, been doing pageants?
No, absolutely not. It's something that I didn't ever think that I would be doing. I grew up and I was very overweight. So after I graduated high school, I decided I needed to get in shape. I lost 75 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
And then my mom saw an ad in TV Guide for Miss Michigan and said, let's get you entered. And so I said, okay. And then I fell in love with it because it brought back that competitive spirit that I've been missing. And so I competed all through my single years and then took some time off when I got married and had children and then came back after I had my three babies.
Wow. So why'd you come back to that? I mean, what was the draw?
The draw was really to get involved with platform pageants. And a platform pageant means that it's based on your cause.
Okay.
So half of your score is your platform and your cause and your community service. So mine is treating the puzzle of autism because I want to get my message out about how we've been able to help our son recover and, you know, go on to great things, far greater than any physician ever told us he would ever be able to do. So it's another avenue for me to get my message out.
So let's get into that for a minute, because this is an issue that's obviously very close to me. I've made documentaries about it. I think at the heart of any investigation into vaccines and those things that, you know, this issue of autism comes up. So your personal story, how'd you wake up to
start? How did it begin? Well, he was born perfectly neurotypical. beautiful, happy, very verbal baby, babbling ABCs, singing his songs. And after his wellness appointment and 5 vaccines, we lost him. He stopped speaking. He stopped listening or responding to his name. When we would call his name, we wouldn't even get a head turn. So we thought he was losing his hearing. We had the hearing checked. It turned out to be fine. He basically just turned inward into his own little world and wouldn't communicate with anybody, didn't want to be held, didn't want to be touched, and was full of anxiety. And like I said, he wasn't speaking any longer. Right. So we dove into, let's get him evaluated by the school. They said he's speech and language impaired. The pediatrician, of course, gave us no answers. He just said he wasn't speaking because he was a boy and they talk late.
But he'd already sort of been speaking, right? I mean, right. Exactly. Were they not aware of that? I mean, I always wonder with this, you know, you're going to the same pediatrician. Yes. Do they just have like cognitive memory loss or something? Yes. Or just?
I think that they don't want to face what happened, especially because it was at their hands that it happened. They will go to any lengths to protect, you know, what happened. They don't want to admit it. And a lot of physicians, they're just in a place where I think that they can't admit it because that would put their entire life, you know, in a different direction. And I feel like they just can't face the facts. But, you know, we have video of him before and after, and it's clearly, you know, he was vaccine injured.
What years is this happening?
Oh my goodness. This was, let's see, he was born in 2001. So that would have been 2002 okay. and a half, 2003.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is really, I mean, this whole issue is really only starting to get some attention. Were you yes. aware in that media was taking place around the
I was not,
autism or anything
no,
like that?
I was not aware at all. I started looking for answers, searching the internet, you know, trying to figure out, because I'll tell you what happened after that. So after the school said he was speech and language impaired, we had him enrolled in an early childhood program. And it's there that the physical therapist actually said, I think your son has autism. I think you need to have him evaluated. So then we did. This was a phone call I received at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And I just dove into the computer and I stayed there literally for 3 days trying to figure out, if my son has autism, how do I help him? How do I help him to feel better? How do I help him get back to where he was? And I found an organization, the Judson Center, and I started going to their meetings and started learning about the gluten-free diet, started talking to their physicians, and I got Gannon into a great physician in Michigan and then another in Ohio. We've been all over the world, actually, with physicians for him. But that's how we got the ball rolling and how I put the link together. I started researching and learning about the connection with MMR specifically, but all vaccines and the vaccine injury that was happening to children all around. And I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea.
Did he get more vaccines after that moment he was progressing?
No, we never went back to the pediatrician ever again. And I will tell you right now that I think he saved my daughter's life because she had had a reaction too, and I didn't put it together. And they just said, oh,
so she was younger.
She was younger.
Following yeah. her brother. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. She's 3 years younger than him.
Okay.
So she was just a baby and she had only had a few and she had a reaction to her appointment shortly before we found out what was going on and yeah. what happened to Gannon. So I said, no more. We're done.
Yeah.
And she's actually our healthiest child. She never was on an antibiotic, never had an ear infection, throat infection. You know, I mean, I would meet with her, you know, the friends in her school, in her preschool and kindergarten, when I would tell them that she never had an ear infection, never was on any medicine. They looked like, you know, they looked at me like, what? How is that possible?
Yeah.
You know, and she's the healthiest of our three.
So many, I mean, this is an issue now that has, I mean, it's continuing to skyrocket. It's not going away.
Yes.
The numbers are, you know, we talk about on the show, you know, depending on what surveillance site you're at, we're at 1 in 44, maybe 1 in 32 if we go by New Jersey.
Yes.
Boys, much more prevalent.
So
we could literally be somewhere around 1 in 18, 1 in 20
yes.
boys, which is just so shocking. As you've been on this journey and you sort of, you know, there's a very large group of what I would call warrior moms.
Yes.
Right at that time that, I mean, are really being impacted, that have really gotten into politics, gotten in your case, you're using pageantry to get the word out.
Yeah.
As you've watched this, you know, is there advance Is there any, you know, do you feel like we're getting anywhere in this conversation?
Actually, I do, because more and more people are reaching out to ask me questions. Whereas when I first started out, I wasn't getting any questions on what do you think causes autism? What do you think happened? When was he diagnosed? Now I get messages daily. Do you think it was the vaccines? You know, we're experiencing this, you know, with our son. Were you going through the same thing? Is there any, you know, commonalities here that we can say, well, maybe this is what's going on with our child right now? So I'm finding a lot more people are very much aware of the link between autism and vaccines, and they're reaching out to me even more. And whenever I'm at an event, I always have people come up to me and want to know exactly what happened because they've heard about it. So that's an amazing movement in itself, because in the beginning I didn't get those questions at all.
When you're getting into this issue and making it a part of a platform, is there any pushback? I mean, I would think, I mean, it's a very, very controversial issue to be bringing something to, you know.
Absolutely.
The pageantry world, I would think.
Yes, yes. I've been attacked. I was just thinking about it last night. I've been attacked online, on the internet. People coming after me saying that I was trying to abuse my son by helping him. It's just, you can't even imagine the place in which some people are coming from out there that attack you. So I've definitely experienced backlash. I've experienced adults with Asperger's coming up to me saying, you want to change us, I don't want to be changed. And I try to explain to them, I'm not trying to change anybody. I was trying to help my son heal because he was physically ill. He had gut issues, you know, he had so many problems that needed to be addressed to help him to feel better, because that's how he was born. I'm not trying to change him. I'm trying to help him to feel better. And our group, our movement of biomedical and helping these children, we don't want to change anybody. We accept our children wholeheartedly. If they're in a corner spinning the wheel on their car, we love them and accept them. It's the fact that we want to help them to feel better and to help them, you know, live their best life, which God intended for them. You know, so that's really our goal, helping them, just like you would help any child that has an illness or a deficiency of some sort. You know, you want to help them to get better.
I was wondering, when I got involved in this issue and I made the documentary Vax, yeah, it was really one of the hard, you know, always would do a Q&A after every screening of the film. But every once in a while, you know, someone that I think identified as being Asperger's, so high functioning, would stand up and say, you're saying I'm a bad person, or that that autism, right, is bad. And I said, you know, the first time that question came was really, I was just like, oh, I don't even know how to even answer that. And I tried to say, you know, as time went on, and it would happen on occasion, to say, look, I I'm totally accepting of everybody and I love you. But, you know, when I look at science and medicine, you know, I said, for instance, in Africa, there was a real issue of blindness that was taking place. And, you know, obviously something's wrong. Why are these kids having more blindness?
Right.
We discovered that there was no vitamin A in their diet. And so they looked at different spices and things that are used most commonly. And ironically, MSG ended up being like one of the most highly utilized, you know, flavor substances.
Yes.
So they started putting vitamin A in MSG and ended up like curing this issue. And so I said, do the science or the doctors that work on that, are they anti-blind people?
Right.
You know, if there's something that we can make people healthy or have them avoid certain issues, that I think that's what we're trying to do here. But let's just talk about recovery, because I mean, I think it's always a very sensitive issue, because every child, you know, is, yes, my experience is different.
Very.
Some respond better than others. Each child, it feels like there's this real, you know, starting with something that works for a while and then you kind of plateau and have to find something else. What was, you know, for someone that is just sort of starting this venture, what would you want a parent to know about that journey?
I would definitely want them to know that, first of all, they have to be their child's advocate, and they have to do the research, and they have to find the people, the right people to help them. Just because they're an autism specialist, they might not be the specialist for their child. I really researched, I went to conferences, I tried to meet other parents that had children like mine, so then I could have that connection. Okay, well, maybe this is the route we should take right now. I basically, you know, I tell people, really get educated and to advocate for your child, because you're their number one person, right? You're the one that's going to help them the most. And don't be afraid to take the road less traveled. That's what we did. We learned from parents that walked before us, and we learned from them. And I basically, I just took the reins, like a lot of us warrior moms do, and said that we have to do it. So I tell people, you need to go, you need to fight, and you need to educate yourself. Start with diet. That's something you can do in your own home. We all know that our diet is horrible. You know, there's so many preservatives and, you know, herbicides, pesticides, you know, poor soil, all of it. Start there. Start cleaning up your child's diet, because you can make huge progress with just maybe eliminating gluten, eliminating casein, you know, food additives, dyes, sugars, things like that. When we removed gluten from my son's diet, he spoke his first sentence 3 months later.
I hear that. I mean, that is really, there's a commonality to this story. I do hear people say the gluten, the casein, which isn't cheese, dairy things, that's those diet shifts bring this sort of, you know, fairly, in, not all the time, but
not all the
most
time.
Of the time, many, many parents say those were the first words we heard or returned.
Right.
There. And then there's obviously a huge journey, you know, getting beyond that.
Yes.
You know, and I think the biome, like the intestinal system, there's so many studies now, you know, when you look at the science that's actually being done, you know, I think it's the University of Arizona, some of the UC schools, they're doing all of these studies on gut biome and fecal transplants.
Yes.
And when you see that going on, I'll see headlines, you know, about it. And I honestly say to myself, the headline should say Andy Wakefield was right. The
exactly.
doctor first pointed this out. I mean, that's all he was saying, right?
Right, exactly.
There appears to be a direct connection between this gut dysbiosis, problem
definitely.
In the gut, and what's happening with them cognitively.
When we finally, you know, because my son's, his gut was destroyed. He had no mucosal lining, you know, so that's when the food gets out, it goes in your bloodstream, goes to the brain. So when we finally healed that mucosal lining, got it up to where it needed to be after 4 years of intensive treatments, that's when the communication really came. That's when sympathy came, empathy came, noticing what I was wearing. Did you get a new dress? I like that. Or for the first time in the mall, when I went around the corner and he couldn't see me, Mom, where are you? I couldn't see you. Whereas before, he was a runner, and we couldn't go anywhere because I literally would have to have a grab hold on to him, and I had two other kids, of course. So we just didn't go anywhere. We were basically just prisoners. So to see him respond like that to his gut being healed was, it was miraculous, and it was really convincing as far as like everything that we were doing. Yes, there truly is a link. He was right. And I have seen it firsthand. Mm. And it always amazes me when people come to me and say, well, why do you think that vaccines had something to do with his autism? Because I saw it with my own eyes. I sat there. We have videos. We have photos. I experienced this. You wouldn't say to somebody that got hit by a bus, well, why did you think they were had a broken leg because the bus ran over their foot? Right. You wouldn't say that.
Right.
Because the parent or whoever was there witnessed it.
Yeah.
Well, all of us parents, we have witnessed this firsthand, and it's something that's happening a lot, and people need to be aware of it.
I always say in science, you know, what people have to realize with this discussion about autism is, sure, you can look at a bunch of different things, or you can have all these arguments where autism's always been here, which is the most ridiculous argument there's ever been.
Yes.
There's so many easy ways to debunk that. But I always say, it's as though there's a lineup. And what we have is millions of eyewitnesses around the world that all point to the same thing. It's that vaccine. It happened right after that.
Yes.
Not after, you know, we don't have cheesecake or donuts, or they, you know, had a fluorescent bulb, which there's different things that could contribute to it.
Absolutely.
But they have all pointed at this one culprit in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And science went in, removed that from the lineup,
yes,
and said it's not that, has to be out of the rest of these. And all these parents are standing there, but that's the one, and nothing has been put in there that replaced it. All of the studies on genetics, you know, it's genetics, has been proven to be ridiculous.
Yes.
We're now back to the CDC is finally starting to admit it's environmental on some level, genetics and environmental, and there are genetics, right? I mean,
yes,
there's obviously a susceptibility there. Some kids do fine, others, you know, with vaccines, and others really don't. And
right.
Well, I think what you just said, though, really struck me, and I had never thought about it that way, which is your son's gut lining is totally not there. So when people think, why would diet make that big a difference, or the toxins, or food dyes? I mean, all of our kids are eating food dyes. But if you have no gut lining protecting you, it's going straight to the brain, causing all the problems. You're just taking water into the boat as you're trying to float.
Exactly. And that's why when your kids are suffering like this, speech therapy and all these therapies, they're not going to work if your child is physically ill and in pain. A lot of these kids are found hanging over a chair because they're trying to take that pressure off of the gut pain or the head pain, the constant headaches. That's what I tried to do. I would go into his classrooms and try to explain to the children, you know, if you felt sick every day, you know, how would you feel? You know, and you kind of really try to get them on the level of, wow, he doesn't feel good. So maybe that's why he's acting a little different right now when he was younger. I wanted to say, though, one of the most important things to tell a parent is to remember that every child is different, because so many times I've seen parents wildly chasing every therapy that they see without investigating it. And like I said, finding that commonality, you need to really be diligent about investigating what is good for your child, because they're all so very different. Some of the things that worked for my son were actually detrimental to others. So you really have to investigate and find out what is right for your child, and don't get caught up into what worked for this or what worked for this, or you know what I mean, the, you know, what they're telling you you should do. You have to find out what's best for your child.
I tend to think, I mean, you know, for my own health, and you know, we don't really go to doctors in our family. We go, you know, we use alternative sort of approaches, but, and there's just as much, maybe that's not a correct statement, there are plenty of people in the alternate health side that are just as, you know, sort of religious zealots about what they do, and some of our selling things that are unproven.
Yeah.
I mean, you run into that no matter what side of the spectrum you're on. But I always feel like there's something that triggers me, and I'll hear all sorts of different things, but I'll get a hit, just like sort of an intuitional feel that when this person's talking, there's something that's making me feel like I should try that.
Absolutely.
And it kind of feels like it goes beyond science sometimes. As a parent, do you think that did you have some sense that you're being guided to what you need, or is it?
Yes, I connected. I mean, I rely on prayer a lot. I prayed through this whole journey, Lord, just please bring me to the people that I need to connect with that can help my son. And yes, I definitely feel like there was times when I knew, like I was at a DAN conference years ago, and there was a mom up there speaking, talking about chelation. And I was I was just drawn to her, and I knew that that was the next step for us. And I had been thinking about it, reading about it, researching it. And I found her right after she got off stage, and I spoke with her, and I made an appointment with her physician. So definitely things have connected. Mommy's intuition, parental intuition, there's nothing like it. And I'm going to share this. When Gannon was born, I had a C-section. So when they brought him back to me in the room, I had this overwhelming sense that I needed to protect him. And I didn't have that with his brother, who was 18 months older. And I didn't know what that was, but something was telling me that he was vulnerable in some way. And, you know, I mean, of course, I had no idea. You know, I called other parents, like, did you ever have this feeling when you had a baby? Because I didn't have this with my first one, no. But I think it was, you know, God telling me, like, he's vulnerable. But I didn't know. I didn't know at that time, you know, what I know now.
Wow. And so in this process, he's diagnosed with autism. Is he still considered on the spectrum? Or how would you describe himself now?
Actually, I mean, we you know, there's a score that you can take, you know, to see where you are on the autism spectrum. And the higher your number, the more severe you are. And he started out, you know, I don't know, 120 or something like that. And then he dropped all the way down to 2, which is considered recovered. I don't think that you're ever out of the woods. I think that, you know, he has some struggles still with social aspects, social maturity, but he's doing amazing. I mean, we were told when he was 4 years old that he may never speak a sentence. He would never be in general education. You know, when he was in fourth grade, they decided to graduate him from the program and put him into full mainstream education.
Wow.
And I sat with those professionals and they said, you know, there's never been a child with an ASD diagnosis that has graduated from this program.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know what? This is the first, and you need to tell parents that it is possible. So he graduated from that program. He went on to be in a play. He was Timon Jr. in the Lion King, junior play in middle school, and was actually sought out by a high school in our area to come to their theater department. It all just takes people believing in your child.
Yeah.
We were blessed with people at each school that believed in my son and believed in his gifts. That's what we need to do. We need to find out what their gifts are, especially in the schools, the teachers. And I know they have a lot on their plate, and my heart goes out to teachers every single day, but they just need to find their strengths and focus on that rather than their weakness. And that's when you see these kids blossom. And as he was being healed, his God-given talents came out. And he graduated with honors from high school.
Wow.
And is out of state at college right now on his own. Like, that's a miracle that when we were back, you know, when he was 3 years old, I never would have imagined that would have happened. But I was always focused on him being better. I always was not, is he going to get better? It was, when is he going to get better?
Yeah.
And you have to keep your focus strong with that. You have to believe and visualize that your children is going to become well.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I mean, look, so you're using this pageantry platform to get the word out. As you travel around, I mean, what is it you really want to achieve? And what is it, the message that you want to sort of leave with other mothers and parents that are out there?
My message is to, first of all, never give up. And to never let a physician, a healthcare professional, tell you what your child won't do. Don't ever take that to heart. Don't listen to it. You say, no, we're going to go and we're going to heal our child no matter what it takes. And be diligent about your research. Research, research, research. Find the people that you have common ground with. But, you know, first and foremost, treatment and recovery is an option. Right now, there's still people. I still have people coming to me that have been diagnosed in the hospital. The doctors tell them that there's no hope. Get some speech therapy, some physical therapies. That's really all we can tell you to do. Well, what about diet? Oh, no, that doesn't work. No, diet does work. I'm not saying it works for every child,
but
I have seen it. I've personally spoken to thousands of families that it has worked for all over the world. And so that's my main message. My message of hope. Don't let anybody tell you what your child can't do. You find out what they can do, and you just move forward and educate yourself and expect the best.
I love it. I mean, so many people come up to me and, Del, what is it, you know, what do I need to do with my life? How do I? And I said, look, everyone has different talents, you have different abilities. It's so awesome that you've taken, you know, this idea of beauty in your life and the ability to sort of move into this pageant space and make it into a platform in which you can transform lives. I mean, it's such a great example of, we all have something special we can make happen in this world. And I think we are transforming it every day.
I believe that.
Really an honor to meet you and have you come to the studio today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this so much.
Good luck.
Thank you, Del. Thank you.